watch Survivor, and when the show ends, you really wanna talk about it with like-minded friends. It might be hard to find some, but don't you shed a tear. Check out the Purple Rock Podcast, and this is what you'll hear. John will make some dumb jokes, and he likes to yell and curse, and if they're not available, the backup hosts are so much worse. Spend the whole time being jerks, telling you you're wrong, and so we got this other jerk to sing you our theme song. It's the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast.
Welcome to the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast. I am John, and this week we are talking Survivor Season 46. I'm sorry, just Survivor 46, Episode 6, which was entitled Cancel Christmas. And as of course you all know, that is what my friends and I and the woke leftist mob do every year when we drink our Satanist Starbucks coffee at holiday time in red cups or something. I don't really remember all the details of the plan, but that's... were you at those meetings, Andy? Did they tell you what we were doing?
Yeah, I actually sent in a angry letter to CBS saying that this should be cancel holiday season.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Cancel happy holidays would have been a great name for this episode.
CBS is always trying to cancel Christmas and their libtard ways.
I appreciate your efforts.
CBS is probably the least guilty of that, though, really, if we're ranking. Well, if we're ranking the major networks, probably Fox would be lowest. Although the network and this is...
I was going to say, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Also, like, how much network TV are you watching at this point?
Not much.
Right.
You know? I still pay for cable, though, which is probably a sucker's thing. But, you know, the thing we're actually ostensibly here to talk about, and we will eventually get around to talking about, is on it. So there's that.
Yeah. How very Gen X of you to pay for cable.
Oh, wow. For sure. You know, and like, it's a reduced, like, give me the basics. And I have to pay the cable provider for internet anyway, so.
Yeah. All right, hey, let's talk about that show that we're doing this whole podcast about. First of all, sure. This week, how'd you like this one?
Yeah, this is a good one, actually. I enjoyed it. You will not hear me, I promise you, complain about the thing I'm always complaining about, because it was I think that 90 minutes well filled. When it ended, I was a little disappointed because it really felt like it was going towards one outcome that would have been really narratively satisfying,
right?
But honestly, the more I thought about it after, I'm like, I think this will, it's better for the season that I didn't get the ending that I felt like the episode itself was demanding. But no, I was into it. I liked seeing everybody kind of bouncing off new people. Like, just kind of that injection was, I think, really needed for the season.
Yeah. And I mean, you're right. Like, as far as story arcs go, there was one that could have been resolved very satisfyingly in this episode. But I'm also very glad that that's not the resolution, because, you know, we're going to lead off talking about Venus, because just what an episode. Just really, she's that, who's the guy that came off the bench and scored like 50 points this week?
The Malachi Flynn,
yes,
of Survivor 46.
This is Venus, obviously the Malachi Flynn, the first name that jumps to mind when you think of Venus.
Venus, she's got it. Yeah, baby, she's got it.
Yeah, baby. Just what a wild ride. I mean, when it came down to the two possible targets, I was like, well, I mean, this could go, you know, either way. And then by the time it gets to tribal council, I'm like, please, I was fairly confident it wasn't Venus at that point, but I was like, please don't let it be her. Just please don't.
Yeah, so I was rooting for it to be Venus just because, I mean, we discussed this last week. I just love an episode that tells that story, and it really felt like she was working hard to get herself voted out. You know, yes, not intentionally. She's obviously working hard in the other direction, but just like, it would have been like really satisfying, especially for her, with her and the character built around her, that it's just this arrogant imperiousness that if it all backfired, like that's what I was rooting for to happen because that's kind of where the emotional beats was going. Whereas voting out Mariah for the episode itself, it's kind of like, eh, you know, sucks for her, right?
Right.
But yeah, as I thought about it, it's like, oh man, Venus was so fun. She is so fun. This was a tour de force, just front to back. And to be clear, because my wife is probably already steaming because she hates her.
Yeah.
Not that I like her. She is awful. She is so bad at this, and it is really fun.
I'm telling you, like I'm good with entertainingly bad Survivor, and that's exactly what this is. I mean, just hitting all the notes tonight. It was really like a wonderful episode as far as how not to play Survivor.
Yet so sure that she's killing it.
Oh, and that's the best kind. You want the confessionals talking about how you're dominating the game, and while we are watching you in real life flounder. Like that juxtaposition is just it's still tastes so good after all these years. I think the initial push, right? Like when they first come together as a group, and just the fact that she's immediately on 10. There is nothing.
No, nice to meet you, anything like that. No. I mean, and again, that could have happened. I don't care. From what we're seeing, just bam, in their face, like not respecting, you know, the proper like social boundaries. Like it really felt like she was up in their grill with this.
Yeah. And also the idea of, you know, I'm playing the game. And I'm like, you are playing a part of the game, but it's funny how people just sometimes conflate the thing, right? Like it's, yeah, you do need to have alliances and strategy and all that, but that, you know, when they say social game, the whole idea of that is you're building a basis for alliances and working partnerships later on. You don't, you know, come in like a bulldozer and like, hey, are we aligning? Give me a name. I need to vote somebody out. Like, oh shit, I just met you 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, like the thread line from her story, almost from the beginning, as we're introduced to her, like, oh, you're a princess, and she's steaming, like, how dare you properly, you know, assess me. She's just fueled by, you know, spite.
Yeah.
Just hatred and spite. And I can respect it to some degree, and like, not entirely unfounded. Like before we even get to, you know, the tribes all on one beach, we see her and Soda and just like hilariously delightful argument of you can just talk to me, you know, and like I think Venus is in the right here. I think it's really weird what Soda's doing, but I also feel like it might be as a result of Venus herself. And the way that she acts and why, you know, Soda's just like, yeah, I could, but no, I don't want to. So it's fueled by spite. And it's interesting because I don't know that that's an effective way to play Survivor. It can be, right? Like Sandra's won two seasons that way, you know, and Natalie won, but it's just so transparent that like the first, like when people are just meeting her and they're like, whoa.
Right. It's just like, could we tone this down? The Soda thing also very funny because it's been this like running beef with Soda, but it's just very weird stuff like the idol holding thing. And it's just like the I've reached my daily quota of talking to you thing. Like they just have a whole weird vibe going. And it's obviously it's not that they don't talk like we've seen them talking, but I'm kind of with you in that, like, you know, yes, Venus is technically in the right, but I think there's probably a reason that Soda is behaving like this, right? Like, we don't see her saying to Tevin, like, all right, I've had enough of you for today. Like, that's just not a conversation she has with anybody else. It's specifically Venus.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seemed like nobody really liked her at all. So, again, I think Soda is not handling it well. The idol thing is absolutely weird. It's possible. I'm not ruling it out. I actually think it's likely that they both suck. You know, it's people make the mistake in believing that there can be a right side to some disputes. Sometimes both sides are bad. Just saying. Yep. but it is hilarious. It that's what's going on while Hunter's gathering up his idol. That goes into why I really enjoyed this episode. Even like camp life stuff was really effective, which again also feeds into why it's better that Mariah left instead of Venus.
Right.
So that we hopefully get a little more of this. I don't want her to last forever. I feel like there's a shelf life to this, but we haven't hit it yet.
But I think also, you know, she's the type that can be set up for a really gratifying boot episode at some point later on, right? Like,
oh yeah.
I don't think Mariah's ever going to deliver that for me. So let's get the boring Mariah boot out of the way now, you know? And then it's like, at some point, when the Venus boot does come, I'm kind of hoping it's just they don't try to hide it. Just it's the whole episode is like, no. We all know what's about to happen, but just guys, watch this. And it's one of those. And I'll just enjoy the whole ride.
I think my favorite Venus touch is the way she constantly tells people to their faces, like, how little she thinks of them. You know, like last week, you know, Hunter, oh yeah, I want to keep you because you're a meat shield. And this week, I can't remember who she was talking to. I think it was Q, but I'm not entirely sure. And she was like, if you're in the final two with Tevin, you will lose. It's like, I just hit you.
Right.
You know, again, I in her mind is like, I'm playing the game and I'm warning them against Tevin and how dangerous it is. But the inverse is you're telling that person that they can't, they're not good. They're not as good as this guy. And it's like, you don't talk to people this way. Do you not get that? And no, she does not get that.
She doesn't.
And it's amazing. And I've been diagnosing it as, you know, she's not used to being around people who aren't immediately into her because she is incredibly attractive, right? It's the John Hammond 30 Rock thing, right? But there could also be another part in that her stated job is data analyst, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think there's a lot of people skills in that field? Again, now, caveat, Survivor says a lot of things for people's jobs and what they actually are. But if that's really what it is, it's one of those where it could be two things, right? That she found a field that requires no people skills, and she has a lifestyle that has never really required a lot of people skills out of her because the people that she chooses to be around are generally grateful for that. Whereas here, they're not. You know, they're not at all. Because for one, it's a self-interested game. Two, she was on a tribe with like, yeah, and competing for attention with like a gay male. So it's just like, I think she's just completely flustered that her stuff doesn't work. But in part, it doesn't work because it was never good in the first place. It just didn't matter in her life prior to now.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, you know, I don't know if listeners have discovered this yet, but we're NBA fans, you and I, and we've discussed how there's a very famous general manager in basketball who, like, I don't know that he necessarily coined the term assets, but it definitely got hugely popular based on him, right? His name's Daryl Morey, and he does all these like data conferences and shit about basketball. And so everybody's like, oh my God, this nerd, he's figured out like the resource shit with basketball. He's data mined. He's amazing. But as we have discussed, at a certain point, he gets so fixated on the idea of these people as assets that he can lose sight of the fact that they are also people, right? Like they have other motivations and things going on in their lives. And they're not just plug slot A into slot B and like, I'll just trade this asset for this and it'll work smoothly. No. Like, there is an element of human interaction in these things. And it strikes me that Venus is doing this exact same thing. Just like, oh, I'll go and I'll just immediately talk game to them because they'll understand. Because, you know, they will have their own interests. I'll have my interest. I'll make our interests align. And like, oh, look, like when she had her conversation with Mariah, like, oh, I'm just like you. Okay, now we should be aligned. Like, you said three sentences to her. Now you think that you guys could be great teammates. Like, no. That's not how this works.
And also, like, while probably really fun and maybe, flattering for Mariah to hear, do you think she's buying that?
Right.
I feel like that probably comes off as pretty transparent. Oh, yes. Like, there's literally somebody here who's my clone, but you're right. It's right. You and me, Venus, who have so much in common. We're basically the same.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she just and she's so quick with it. Like, it's just rapid. Like, why are we still talking about this vibe? When she's like, well, we've already figured this out. And it's like, there's a world where, yeah, you can just strip back and, like, look at what she's doing move-wise. And it's like, there's some understandability. She knows she's on the bottom. It's obvious. Frankly, bad form by her tribe in some ways. Is that obvious? Although, like, still, I'm just not willing to absolve her. And that maybe when somebody just sucks so much, there's only but so much you can do to try and make them feel included, right?
Right.
Maybe, yeah. And again, I'm not ruling it out because everything I've seen from the way that people react to her has not been positive, including this episode. But yeah, and so you're on the bottom. Make yourself a free agent. Make ploys. You know, it's a new merge. Let's try to, you know, why play timid? You know, I don't like it when players play timid as, you know, a commentator on this. But there's no finesse. There's no actual skill. It's just, of course we should do this. Maybe it's because it's what the data suggests, you know? And it's so bad, and it's so funnily bad, because everybody's reaction is she's out there. In this space, this is the part where all the other tribes are looking for the cracks. They're looking for people to pick up, you know, to boost their numbers. They're all like, yeah, but I don't know about that Venus, though.
Right. And like,
it's not like we could use her. It's like, she's not fooling anybody. She's immediately sending people the vibe of like, enough, no.
Yeah. And also, it was very funny when Mariah's read on her, or at least the confessional that we saw, was like, oh, you know, she's really smart. She's really playing very well. And I'm like, is she? Because she's clearly on the outs of her original tribe. And it, you know, this was honestly probably the highlight of the Venus experience for this episode for me. She's told, okay, here's the target. Just vote Mariah and you're safe. And it just harkened back to the conversation that she had with Hunter, where she's like trying to dictate the shot from the bottom. And I love the unearned confidence. She's like, she's the person, she's shooting over 16 at this point. She's just yelling buckets on the 17th shot. She doesn't care. She will just keep taking the shots and clang, clang, clang every time. And it's amazing. She's like, she could just say, all right, yep, Mariah, it's not me. Great. I've made it. I can, you know, get to the next vote. But no, she wants to push and make it Charlie. She's telling people that's a stupid plan. Like, hey, great idea. I mean, nothing endears you to potential new allies like telling them, I don't think your idea is very good. Like, just masterclass performance. I enjoyed the shit out of that one.
Yeah, and like, it wasn't just told that, like, you know, the votes for Mariah. It's like, it's Mariah or it's you. And she's like, yeah, but how about option three? And, you know, again, there are worlds where maybe that's admirable. You know, maybe Mariah is the safe vote, but it's like, you don't have the power, though. You, yourself, have no allies, have no tools. You know, you're one of six people eligible to be voted for. Like, there's not a lot of moves here for you to make, and you have no base with which to make them. But nah, she's going to do it. She's going to, this is her time, because her very first vote ever, she's going to make the big shot. She's going to make the big move, because she is playing Survivor at a deeper and higher level than any of these other idiots. And there's some of that too. It's the classic Survivor thing of like, these people are idiots because nobody's trying to play.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, they are playing. They're just not playing with you.
Right.
And it's amazing. How about her tribal council? I can't even remember what she was saying, but she said something that was, again, just so blunt and rude and arrogant in one phrase that, like, Kenzie had to stifle a laugh. Like, again, that's why it felt like Venus has got to be going home. She was smug when, like, I think the vote started being read. Again, it's good that it wasn't, but it's just like, this is the reaction. Even if it's not true, even if it's a wonderful fiction being spun by the show, bravo, show, you're doing a great job.
And not only that, but like, You know what else was weird at tribal council? I don't, maybe it was just that she'd been talking all day, right? Like there was something up with her voice, but she'd put on this like weird, sexy, smoky voice or something like that. As she's like, I was like, are you putting on a voice? Is this just like you have a sore throat because you've been, you know, talking and trying to ram
dictating terms to people?
Right, exactly. Ramrod your plan through all day. But yeah, the thing that she said that made Kenzie laugh was she was saying something about like, if these people aren't fools, that they're smart like they say they are, like they'll keep me around.
That's it.
Like,
yes.
What the fuck?
You're asking us to do it.
So good.
And everybody wanted to. They wanted to vote out Venus.
Yep.
It was just the other plan made more sense for a group of them. So it's not like she did anything. They're all just like, yeah, we can vote her out. Like, there's never going to be a time where like, hey, should we vote out Venus? And be like, oh, I don't want to do that. Now, right. You let her hang around too long, there will get a time when people will be like, I don't want to do that, because they're like, that's one person I can go to the finals with.
And right. That is a clear goat.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's amazing. And, you know, your point about the sexy voice, which I'll admit, I didn't notice. Now it makes me want to watch it again. There could really be something to that, because if you see any of her pics on social media, and I know you haven't, but we've shared a couple, it doesn't matter if it's a candid or whatever. She is instantly like blue steel in that son of a bitch. Everything is a look, you know, she is serving, you know, looks, I'll say. There's other things that people much younger than me and less straight white male-ish than me that will say what she is serving. I will not say those things. I'm not allowed. I'm not entitled. And the only way I would say those things is just to ruin the slang forever. You're like, oh, yep. That's over.
Nope. Gotta move on to the next word. I don't know. You should go back and watch it and you can give your opinion. Actually, people in the comments too. Tell me what you think, because I just, as she was talking, it seemed distinctly different than her normal voice. And it felt very much like she was trying to put on like a sexy vibe. And there was just like this quality to her voice that did not exist in confessionals or in conversations she was having earlier in the episode. But again, it could just be a very simple explanation. She was talking too much. Yeah. It just struck me as odd. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, she is. I'm happy that I'm going to get a little bit more, because she's hilarious. Just the way she just aggressively approached everybody right away. They're probably like, oh, hey, you're Venus, right? And she's like, no, this is what it's going to be. We should do this.
Name for
like,
name.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the other side. But, oh, no, she did do that.
She did. Let's do name for name. Like, oh, okay.
You. Anyway. Wow. She's. Oh, my God. And she has a lot of fans. You're probably not surprised to learn, because one, that's true about everybody. Yeah. But, you know, because she could speak the language, like the whole thing, like, oh, it should be a man. And like, oh, yeah, go home. Yeah. You go queen. But it's like, you know, there actually are more women than men right now. Like, it's really not actually that big a deal. And of course, it should be you. It really should be you.
You know, you mentioned earlier that occasionally, like, despite this, you know,
it's like, why should it be a woman? Because there's five of them.
Well,
it's actually, the math is there.
Right, exactly. The odds are pretty strong, right? But, you know, she does make the suggestion that it should have been Charlie. So let's entertain that thought. Do you think it should have been Charlie?
No. Because here's the thing. The same reason why it was right to go for Mariah. You don't go for the hard vote at this vote anymore. It's just right. Not the way it works. And that's unfortunate, because it used to be like, this is a turning point vote, right? But it's not, you know, it's important to note that this is not the merge vote for half of them or whatever. It's also earlier than the way merges used to be. So it's okay. Like, the turning point vote will come. It's just not now. Now it's just, what's easiest? What can we get the most people to vote for? And that's not Charlie just right now, because he didn't just lose a vote the night before, because he wasn't on the outside of his tribe just before, you know? So no, I don't think it should have been Charlie. Like, again, you know, strategically, is Charlie a bigger threat in the game than Mariah? Yeah. That's why it's not him. You know, right. The reason why he's more of a threat is because he has more alliance partners. And it's just like, you don't need to force that just yet.
And that's the answer. It's the reason why it's not going to be Charlie is because he has people who will stick up for him and push the vote off of him, right? Like Maria and Ben care enough that they'd be like, no, not Charlie, though. Whereas Mariah does not have that clout, right? People are not sticking their necks out for Mariah. Tim, like, half-heartedly tried to protect her by not initially saying her name, but you know, even then you give just a little bit of push and he's like, all right, I guess Mariah, you know, like it's Mariah, as you said, is the easy vote. And that's really what this vote generally has been since 41.
Or at least in 41 it was going to be, but then of course magical powers turned back time.
Oh yeah, it's very
thus different. Creating a new winner of the season. But even that, like, then they just like, oh well, Sydney's the easy vote, you know, like it's, this is an easy vote time.
Yeah.
And you know, that's disappointing from when it used to be that, like, when the tribes would come together, but it's just what it is. And it's just like, if in the past we wouldn't have merged right now, and it probably just would have been an easy vote somewhere else. So yeah, it's, I don't get too worked up about it. In fact, as terms of like recent seasons, this one was a little more interesting than other easy votes because there were two easy votes to choose from. Right. So that's the other question. They went for Mariah, but should it have been Venus?
I mean, we've already covered for entertainment purposes. Absolutely not, you know,
but for game purposes.
Yeah, sure. As far as game goes, no. And I think we sort of hit on it earlier, which is that Venus is not the type that people are just going to like strongly align with. Like, they will maybe fold her in if she's necessary, but there's not much risk. As you said, we can get rid of Venus basically anytime. So Venus is the one you keep around because there's not a lot of danger in having Venus. Not that Mariah necessarily had so many social bonds, but again, of the two options, like, Venus is out there very transparently and aggressively playing. There's not a lot of nuance to her, right?
Like, there's none.
Yeah. So maybe with Mariah, you think like, you know, she might be more capable of going along with votes for other people. Like, no, I don't want that. I want someone who makes it very clear what they're doing and no one wants to work with.
Yeah, I think Nami and Yanu's stated reasons to go for Mariah were it was the right play. And that Nami seems very interested. It's like, yeah, man, sure, let's get rid of Venus. Sounds great. That's what we wanted to do, you know? But we, you know, because we have Hunter, we could not do it. Whereas Sega clearly did not want to get rid of anybody, which is why Sega had to get rid of somebody.
Yep.
That said, and, you know, obviously we'll have no idea what the permutations are or whatever, but everybody else should now be like, it has to be Venus next. You know, because if not, then Nami is, they pulled a fast one on you, right? You know, mm-hmm. They're like, oh yeah, we'd get rid of somebody. And then all of a sudden, but what if we get rid of a Yanu or something? So, no, I think this Mariah was the strategically sound choice between her and Venus. I bet that they all, by the end, they're like, man, we should have just got rid of Venus. Like, when Mariah then reveals a tribal council, that's like, I'm not actually with them. They left me out. And they're all just like, why didn't you tell us that?
There could have been some movement up here.
If we knew that, then we would have just voted out the one that is really annoying all of us, and that would have been satisfying.
And let's indulge in that. Do you think that would have worked? If Mariah had played this slightly differently, do you think she would have been the one that survived this vote?
It would have increased her chances. And the other reason's not Venus is that, like, she's just awful, you know. They said it, like, Mariah is somebody that, you know, could actually play strategically. Venus is a snake, we can tell right away.
Yeah.
Like, it still might have been that, but it would have taken that part out. Now, you still would also have the Tim part, though, where it's, like, clear that him and Ben are really reticent to offer anybody up. That might have been enough to doom her as well. But I think if, like, when she was making, you know, bonds with people, you know, we see the conversation with Q, instead of telling him the big, you know, red line threat that, you know, she, like, relates to Aubrey, which makes her deadly rather than duh. I mean, it's like, clearly she's an Aubrey archetype. What are we doing here, folks? That could have helped. It could, because they're looking for cracks. And from their conversation with Mariah, from the later conversation with Tim, feels like Sega doesn't have cracks, so we need to create one. If they knew that Sega did have a crack, then maybe it would have been like, yeah, okay. But I really want to get rid of that Venus chick, though. Right. That would be, yeah, like, it could have helped. I think it could have, yes.
Yeah, what I think it was probably always going to be a long shot, and for precisely the reason you said. Just for the fact that they did not immediately offer up a name, because there was no hesitation in offering up Venus, right? Like, Tevin, right, especially this whole episode, like, whenever he was talking to somebody, was more than willing to say, hey, just so you know, don't trust Venus, and Venus is too much, and, like, we don't align with Venus, whatever. Like, that name just flew right out of their mouths. So the fact that there was some, like, hemming and hawing, like, once that happened, it was a massively uphill battle for Mariah. So
it was more uphill, but I think if she had been a more honest, like in private conversations way before that, then maybe it just would have been more evidence that something's up with Tim rather than something's up with Mariah, right? Now, obviously, they couldn't vote for Tim, but then, yeah, maybe they just do Venus, or maybe then they do, like, hey, let's just get rid of somebody, like, more outwardly threatening. Here's another thing that could help Mariah. We talked about this last week. I remember when Maria had an extra vote?
I do recall that, yes.
And she used it in a complete non-helpful way, like a situation, as we went over, guaranteed to have no value.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not that.
No.
So she has an extra vote. We know that Hunter does not have a vote, and he broadcast this. As soon as he had immunity, he was like, I can't even vote. That way, and that was good by him, because it then erases the idea that he gained something in that trip. That, you know, it lowers the potential threat profile. It's like, I lost my challenge. I don't have a vote. All right. So now, as the vote works out, it was 4 Nami and 3 Yanu. Obviously, it ended up being everybody but, you know, Mariah and Charlie, but clearly that's because they knew they were going to lose the vote. Why throw there? I'm pretty confident Charlie voted for Venus in order to protect himself from Mariah's shot in the dark, which they probably told her to play, right, Charlie? Because they're probably like, it's going to be you. We wish it wasn't, but, you know, we don't have the votes. That's what I'll get to in a second. So play your shot in the dark, and then that was, you know, I'm guessing where his vote came from. So that's what they're dealing with. The 7 votes, Nami, Yanu, minus Hunter, versus what at the time was 5 Sika votes. If Maria has her extra votes, now it's 7-6. Well, again, what's going on this episode? Is Venus just openly desiring to flip, right? It's, you know, to get back at those Nami people. Well, there you go, man. That extra vote really could have paid any. Now, Tevin also has an extra vote. So it might not have worked.
Right.
But as we said last week, and again, these things have rarely ever. I think the only time that an extra vote has really mattered is, like, I think there was like a split vote situation where it ended up kind of helping. But this would have been the time, right? That, like, maybe an extra vote, the time when, you know, it's your side versus another side. It would have been nice to have an extra shot in the holster, or whatever the phrase is. We don't do guns up here.
You don't have the guns. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that's, you don't have gun culture.
Chamber would be where you put those guns. And the holster is not very useful. I think that's where you put the holder of bullets.
The chamber is where the bullet goes. Yep, yep, that's the one.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, man, that extra vote would have been really nice.
I mean, again, in
theory, it might not have, but without it, much worse.
Yeah. I don't even know that they would have necessarily gone that hard to save Mariah anyway. But you are right. Like, numbers-wise, it could have worked. But, yeah, regardless, what a waste of that vote. The generally worthless vote last week. But, again, this was a situation where in theory, at least, it could have had some impact.
And then I suppose if Mariah just goes like full, you know, scorched earth and be like, you know, I want to work with you all. You know, you should be targeting Charlie. He's really close with Ben. He's really, you know, Maria, she just betrayed me. She's clearly working with other people. And then they'd be like, hey, that fits. We know he's voting for Tim and Tim's acting pretty weird. So maybe. Now, I don't fault her for not doing any of those things, because in other times the play would have been to stay strong with your original tribe and hope to get the swing people on your side.
Yep.
Or, and this is obviously before they know how the rock draws will go, which also gets in the way of any kind of planning from the time you hit the beach. I thought the most likely event going into this episode would be that Kenzie would go home. Like, again, if she wasn't immune, which really might have been the case, because that's how it's been a lot, is the big tribes just pick off somebody from the little tribe and, like, we'll deal with each other later, but let's just survive this vote. And, you know, I have no trouble believing Q would offer her up, right?
Sure.
So, like, I understand Mariah playing as though she's still with Sega, not wanting to give away that information. It's just, as it worked out, it probably would have been better for her due to the unique decision making that ended up happening, that she should have given some information. So, tough break.
You know what struck me in watching this episode? So we saw the Sega group just, you know, staying united, and they're like not willing to give up a name on their side. They were not forthcoming with who they'd be willing to part with. And do you know what the other players in the game did, Andy? They were like, oh, that's a sign that we should break you up. Like, the thing that you should think whenever that happens, and the thing that never once happened last season. Like, this was the immediate reaction of several people on this season. Like, oh, that's a red flag. I don't want to let that tribe stay tight, because that's bad for my game. Last season, sure, fine. Just let these same four people stay tight the whole time and never give us anything.
Yeah, and to clarify for people, this is not a reaction to that. These people have not seen that season.
Right. They probably saw an episode or two before they went out, but that
I doubt even that. Like, these season things are so short. Like, it probably hadn't, they were probably editing it when they were out there.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, because now they do the
26 days and they're turning around, I think, 2 days later, right? Like, there's no way. No, it's more like they would have seen some of the, you know, the one, but yeah, we're in the winter one, so there's no time. Yeah, and you're framing it as like how dumb the other people were last season, and yes, fair, accurate, agreed. But I think it also shows that maybe we need to give some credit to the Reba Four, because as you say, it's four. What they did do, those four, is early in the merge, whatever. Yeah. Is they actually did sell out some of their people. They were like, hey, get rid of the fake samurai guy, Sifu. And I guess like that, they did. I think that the person that went home in the merger tour was also one of the Reba group. Once Caleb, negated every single vote. So, yeah, I mean, they, you know, early, they did that work early, that it's like, oh, yeah, no, man, we'll vote out of Reba, it's fine. And then nobody, like, from that moment on, people weren't questioning that, like, hey, whenever we mention maybe we should vote out Dee, you know, her love-struck buddy would be like, although, to be fair, Emily actually did cop that, you know, notice that and made her feel uneasy. But the problem is that, like, Katara was like, I'm with them. It's like, there's the... No, you're not. Just all that you care about is they are not Bruce, you know? So I think it shows that the Reba Four actually probably deserves some credit. But I'll also default to my opinion in most of the last season. It's like, I can only give them but so much credit when they weren't exactly beating stiff competition.
Right. All right. As you mentioned earlier, though, like, we're getting this whole fake merge thing every season now, and I struggle with, like, does the production team of this show have an expectation that this is going to yield, like, an exciting event, like the vote being exciting, because generally it's just, that's not what's happening. I guess, so from a production standpoint, are they thinking like, well, the, you know, make the merge, quote unquote, is the drama, the draw of this episode, and the vote is like secondary. Like I could maybe see their thinking on that line where they're like, well, you know, yeah, the vote will probably be like chalk as hell, but at least we'll have the fun of like, oh, who's going to win the challenge and who's going to be immune and how do these new people work together?
Yeah. And I think it's even less about like which part will have more drama. I think it's just a philosophical thing. I think right now they are just really into the idea that like there are hard things in this modern form of the game and you need to earn what you get. We're not giving you anything. And I think, you know, it's a response to the fact that they shortened the game, which was initially, you know, a COVID-based measure. From here on out, it's clearly a budgetary type measure and it's never coming back. Sad, but we can let that go. It's once businesses find ways to save money, they don't really get back to spending that.
Right.
And so I think that's just where their mind is at right now, that they're just really into the idea that like there are consequences within the game. And I don't even think they're considering the knock-on effects at all. That, yeah, they've taken what is usually a dramatic thing and made it less dramatic, and many times not even dramatic at all. And the one thing I'm struggling with is, does that matter? You know, again, it's like I used to really love the merge vote, so it'd be nice to have that. But, you know, like two episodes from now, we'll actually get like a real vote where they can all vote together. And that can be dramatic. And, you know, it will be the, you know, eighth episode of the season, which was generally where the merge vote was, you know? So it's, and I proposed this a couple seasons ago. It's like, maybe we just think these as random swaps that used to happen around now in the old times. Now, flip side is I kind of hated them when they happened around now.
Yep.
In the old times. So, because here's what also is happening, and the two things are meeting. The big thing is it's this conservative gameplay because making the merge is such a thing, right? It's not just the show actually, you know, creating that, you know, where they're holding out that carrot and that, you know, you really got to earn it. Like it is for fans. It's a big step. What's the thing? The milestone. And so players get really conservative when that's happening. And that was true before, you know, this weird, you know, thing. And the show was finding out that the family visit was also another big milestone that like players would start to like, really like, I'm just trying to hang on for the family vote. So that, since they already had those kind of lulls and like those incentives that were, you know, creating behavior in certain ways, they're like, oh, let's make people earn it. But the other thing that's happening right now is players themselves have started to become a little more sensitive to the idea of why are all the threats, us quote unquote threats, playing into the hands of these lesser players? Why are we letting them pick us off at the merge, pick us off as soon as we get here? Why not just do the easy vote? Like, why keep giving these people cover? And that's what used to happen, is we'd get to a merge and you'd lose, you know, like a big player. Both sides would be like, who is the most damaging to the other side that we could take out? And sometimes it'd be like, well, we got to worry about an idol, or sometimes that person would have immunity, right? The sole person to have immunity as opposed to over half the people have immunity.
Right.
And so, yeah, like, Venus, this episode is all like, well, you know, why take out Mariah? That's not very strategic. And it's like, well, it actually is if you're the type of person who would normally be targeted here. For them, it's like, no, let's just take out the Mariahs and Venuses instead of letting them skate on by while we all take each other out. So I think both of those things are happening at once to create these less interesting votes. I don't know. What do you
think? Well, I want to point out another thing. Happening is, like you mentioned, the whole concept is like Probst hammers this idea that he wants to see them earn whatever, right? They earn the merge
and all that stuff. Yep.
Yeah, sure. One of those people earns it by sitting out of a challenge and picking a team. just pointing that out. That's the earning. You know, they sat on that bench hard. I mean, they just,
they gambled. They had to make the right choice.
Sure.
And, you know, yeah. In Survivor, it's all about, I don't have it in me. I need to write it down to come up with the proper survivory and bullshittery about this. A game where fire is life, but we're not going to let you have fire for 11 days.
Right. Exactly. Because you don't yet have life until you've won a challenge, I guess. Sure. And we're going to make it progressively harder for you to win said challenge because, you know, all you really need to do is have the determination, not like food or sleep or, you know, anything.
And that's not going away. You know, if Yanu actually had lost out, we might have had a chance. But oh, my God, them pulling off such an epic win.
Yeah.
That's like, see, you just got to dig deep.
You just got to want it more.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about these, what the votes right now are and what it means for the game?
I mean, it's going to stay conservative as hell. And it makes sense, right? Like, I think a lot of times, unless you have horrifically bad players, which is a thing that happens, like, players respond to, like, incentives that the game gives you, right? And so, in this case, you're incentivized to have that, like, easy vote. Like, don't make your big moves here. Just where can you get a large majority of votes on? You know, it hasn't just generally been close, right? We're not getting like a one vote split. It's generally been like, okay, who can we all agree on to get rid of here? And I feel like it's going to stay that way. And it makes sense that it will, because there's not an incentive to play really hard at this vote.
No, you really can't show your cards, because the other thing that's happening, we'll see it next week, is, and this is part of the problem, you can do these things, but maybe don't always do the same things in the same order. So next week, they're going to split them into two random tribes. Ugh. And both tribes are going to go to tribal council with like one person on each tribe having immunity. I'm guessing. I think that's how it works. But definitely the two tribes randomly divided.
Yep.
You don't know where you're going to be next week. So you really just, like, let's not create divisions. Like, last season, Caleb got, you know, attacked or targeted by D because he in the tribal council where everybody was voting for him was like, hey, why not D? Because she's really great. And, you know, she's a threat. And she's all like, he's dead to me. You know, like, just something like that. Now, Caleb was probably going to be a target anyway.
Right.
But, like, just that made him the target there. So it's just like, yeah, right now, survive this, show nothing, because we still have another bullshit vote to get through. And then it's time. Which is unfortunate, but at the same time, like, we do get it. We do get the time, and maybe there is something to, like, the big turning point moments happening when these people have a little bit more data versus when they're first thrown together. I don't think I believe that, but it's like, I don't know if it's as damaging as we think, but I don't like it either. I prefer just not, or again, earn the merge, whatever, but I hate the two tribe thing that follows it. That's, I think, the more damaging thing. And I think that's also playing into the idea of, like, let's just hold off for a bit.
Right. I think it, you know, the structure in this episode alone, I could just shrug and be like, it's fine. It's just that when you pair this with then next week being the, like, two random split up groups and the, like, two people getting voted out, that just, nah. You lose me a bit there. You're getting a little too cute. Now,
what's really unfortunate is it didn't happen to happen this season. You know, when Randon had to be taken out of the game, we were about to go to tribal council.
Right.
We could have just lost two people that episode.
And two birds, one stone would have been great.
Yes.
You know, wouldn't have to endure an extra Banu episode. Would have been fun. But yeah, that would have, I guess, screwed up their, thinking for this double vote. I think that there is some degree of they like having that too.
Yeah. And that's a mistake.
Yes. Like,
that's the worst thing. It's because it's just, you know, nowhere to hide. Whatever. It's just, It's too random, man.
It is. I think that, you know, a big part of this is seeing how well you can adapt to certain circumstances. But, you know, if you've done well to, like, make some bonds with people, and then suddenly, you know, you've had maybe 2-3 days together at that point, and then suddenly, like, you've completely gotten shuffled into a tribe where it just makes sense to vote you out. It's like, well, you didn't, you know, you were doing the right things, but you're doomed regardless.
Yeah, and now you have 6 hours to do something about it.
Right.
And, like, we've seen what the random selections can result in. What was your reaction seeing these randomly assembled teams?
I think roughly the same as Tiffany. I was like, oh, huh.
What a hard choice!
It was funny because I saw Hunter, and I think it was Q that I saw on the one.
They arranged them by height, so they were standing next to each other.
And I saw them walking over, and I was like, oh, that's a good... And then I'm like looking at how and I see the women walking over to the one side, and they're like, Mariah's mouth is like agape. And I was like, oh, oh, oh. And I could just see the tribe starting to form, and went, well, yeah.
I know. Hunter and Q, they both look and they both realize they have the same color, and there's kind of like a shrug, like, okay.
Yep.
And then, yeah, and I see that. And it's not just for, you know, for Tiffany that it's most of the strong people on one side and not the strong people on the other. It's also all the Anus. So it's like, there's really no choice for, like, just the strong one, that'd be the way you should make your choice anyway. But that is like, oh, I'll be with my allies, or I'll be completely by myself. I think I'll choose to be with allies, you know? So even if we lose, I have three people. That's somewhere to at least, you know, it won't just be me. It could be one of us three, right?
Exactly.
But no, it was hilarious. It's like, what are you going to do, man? It's random. And look, it looked close, but I wasn't buying it. You know, it's like, Hunter hasn't hit that puzzle yet.
That's the thing, is I saw how the puzzle was breaking down. I'm like, oh, they're saving Hunter for last, which makes sense. I mean, the other tribe, to their credit, was saving Charlie for last, which also made sense. And the rest of that team did a pretty admirable job of keeping up. But yeah, whoever that group was going to put up against Hunter at the end, I was like, well, good luck.
There was also like a height element to the puzzle that's not usual. But I think there were stools there.
There was something.
Yeah.
Because they weren't like struggling too hard to fill that top section.
That was just hilarious. It was funny. And I have no other feedback other than a hearty laugh. And, you know, you'll see it in the screen. You people have already probably seen it in the shot for this episode. Just some of the facial reactions. Yeah, Mariah is just like full, like, you know, O face. Yep. Not in the fun way.
Nope.
And, and Tiffany, like, she could already taste the meal. You know, it's just like, hey, so kind of related to what I was saying and how they're not always targeting the big threats anymore. Last season they did with Caleb, but that was also, he was the guy with no allies. Do you think Q's alliance thing is going to work? Like, some people were into it.
I mean, like, we know about Q that he is good at attracting followers, right? That's one thing we know about Q. We also know the Q is just, he's asking the right questions, right? Like, we know Q, he knows the things that we should all be asking. And he did that in this episode. And so because of that, his plans start to come together and you start to see action taking place. And in this case, I kind of hope it works out, because like, that would be a fun final five or six or so, assuming that Tim and Rhea get cut out, which I think
that's on the table. Yeah.
I mean,
just throw in Kenzie and, like, I guess Liz, whatever.
Kenzie and probably like Soda, maybe.
Yeah. Although we saw that Tevin was not interested in going that deep with Soda.
Right. I mean, they should be cut eventually, but.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like that thing with Soda is going to fizz out. Thank you.
Boo this man. I think roughly though, like that core four, like if it's Hunter, Tevin, Tiffany, Q, I'm good with that being the four that makes a run to the finals. Because there's entertainment value there, and I would enjoy watching those people. And also, I think there's, you know, those people will go at each other when it's time to do so, right? It's not going to be like, yeah, us four to the end. Like, no. They would stay tight as long as it's necessary to do so. And then I think they would make moves on each other, which would be fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's baked in, right? And this is why, like, even if it doesn't go far, it's worthwhile to talk about something like that when given the opportunity, because even if all you're doing is buying yourself three votes, where it's like, let's just not go after each other, like Survivor always has been. You know, to go, like I was saying, why are we letting lesser players, you know, use us as shields, skate by in our shadow?
Right. It's a non-aggression pact.
Yeah.
Historically has worked well for every country that's ever tried it.
Easily. There's never any time that's ever failed. Yeah. Now, will it work out for EQ? I don't know. Cause, you know, we do have the preview for next week. And, you know, if Kenzie and Tiffany turn on him, that'd be great. I'm in favor, because obviously, I'm biased heavily.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, and the other thing I like about Q is like his reads are weird, but not wrong. You know,
right.
So like when he was talking about like how something isn't right about Mariah, and then he's all getting like, well, because she's got Aubrey as her favorite player, blah blah blah. It's like, well, that's actually not that part is nothing,
right?
But you're also 100% right that she's lying to you. Like you're not wrong about that. You're just the evidence, wrong evidence, right direction.
I guess. Yeah. Ultimately, correct conclusion. That's not the path to get there.
He knew that Venus wasn't worth, you know, competing with. He knew something's up with Tim. Tim confirms. It's like, yeah, well, I didn't really want to commit to that. And it's like, way to go, Tim. Like, just commit to it. We're not saying that you actually have to go all into this six, but you should have, like, let Maria know what's up. And I understand maybe you didn't right as soon as you got back, because at that point, you're fighting to win a vote. And maybe you're not 100% sure where Maria's at. But between now and, you know, meeting these other people, you should have let her know, like, this is what we talked about. So it's an option. I don't even know if I want it, but let's know, like let's pretend that we do. He's bad at that. I feel like Tim, like, is really trying to not commit to anything. And you just can't do that in this
no. game. No. And, hey, that's also a good thing that you brought up, because I almost forgot about Maria's confessional where she was like, what? He said I was his number one? She's like, he's like maybe my number three.
Yeah. Oh, I said she was great in that. And like enough to like make me like, yeah, okay, like the professional birther or whatever she is. Like that part I don't like. But you know what? I think Maria's got some game. I tipped my hat at that. Because then she's like, well, hey, man, more alliances are good for Maria. And it's like, right. Yeah.
It was very funny that she was like, oh,
what, him?
I'm his number one. All right. Oh, that's good to hear, I guess.
Yeah. And when she's like maybe three, so obviously behind Charlie, who else is he? Was she counting Mariah, who she'd previously been in? Or it's like, well, no, obviously I burned that bridge. So behind Ben, I think really Tim might have been four. But, you know. Upon hearing that, it's like, well, I'll give him a conditional three.
Right. She just didn't want to make it sound even worse than it really was.
You think she like feels bad for Tim in that moment? It's like, really? I thought your number one was Ben.
It reminded me of the like the whole like, oh, you know, this person really thinks the world of you, and you being like, what? I don't think of them at all. It was a solid burn, and I don't even necessarily think that she meant to drag him like that. It was just
no.
It was funny the way it came off.
Yeah, Tim's like unwillingness to like really say anything or commit, and he thinks that like he's being cagey by not saying much, and everybody is clocking him for it. If you had watched the most recent season of The Traitors, I know you didn't other than one episode, but people listening, that behavior is common among people who are trying to hide the fact that they are, in fact, the traitor. It's like, so what do you think? Oh, well, yes. And they're like, see, I was so smart. I didn't say anything. It's like, you not saying anything is what's tipping everybody off. If you weren't the traitor, you'd be saying something right now. If you were into this alliance, if you were willing to vote out somebody, you would have given us a name by now.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I think the general rule that we've said on this is you don't want to give the name first necessarily. But in Tim's case, the first name had already come out.
Yeah.
Right? So at that point, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know what? The name was offered up. Not by Venus. She was playing it to let Tim give a name first. But, you know, once they got to that feast, like, Tevin was willing to immediately lay it on the table. And at that point, you could be like, oh, well, you know, I guess then maybe Mariah. You know?
All right, well, speaking of name for a name, go! Ooh. Now, we'll do what we've been doing every week, and that is, of course, naming songs. Now, you might think, while watching this episode, what are they going to do? That we didn't really get much of Ben at all this episode, and thus, no band references. However, as mentioned in the beginning, the title of this episode was Cancel Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we sent home somebody named Mariah, which is close to Mariah. So, we are going to do top three Christmas songs, because what is a better thing to talk about at the beginning of April, a week after Easter, than Christmas? Ooh. And I will say, at least where I'm at, it friggin' snowed today. After some nice like weather, my kid was outside playing basketball, and now we're back to this. So, maybe it is good for me. You, of course, have only heard but rumors of snow.
It is not snowing here today.
No. You go to vacation to places with snow.
Yeah.
And that's just so weird for me. But, you know, I went to your hellscape for a vacation. You were like, what are you doing in this armpit?
You chose to come here in summer, which was madness.
But that was not where we call summer. That was... I came in October. That's not summer.
I mean, our summer is like 7 months long.
Our winter's 8. So,
okay. All right. So let's what's your number three Christmas song?
All right. And yeah, so those of you playing along at home, name a song, but you also have to like pick a version because many songs are recorded by like 100 different people.
Oh, yeah.
So which version of the song? For me, number three, I'm going with Christmas Time Is Here by the Vince Guaraldi Trio. It's from the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah, that's my favorite Christmas special. And it's so melancholy. And that's weirdly my vibe a lot when it comes to music, even though myself, not actually a melancholy person. Like, I listen to so much sad bastard music, but I'm not that sad. I think it's because I like to visit it. And I don't know. I think I've always kind of had some of those feelings around Christmas time. Probably because, you know, at that point, I hadn't seen the sun in like 4 months or whatever. So, yeah, that's my number three.
Yeah, for me, it is the aforementioned Mariah. All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. Just because it's, you know, it's become a meme for a reason, right? Like, it has earned its place in the Christmas canon.
Oh, for sure.
It earns its place on my top three list.
Yeah, I left it out of my top three just due to ubiquity.
Sure.
But like, I have it on vinyl. Like, we listen to it all the time at Christmas. And that's probably, frankly, why it's not in the top three. Because it often is like track one or within the top five tracks and like whatever, you know, playlist for Christmas you're going to on Spotify. So yeah, a lot of listens. And I'll say we're a big Christmas music household around the time. How about you guys?
Oh, yeah. It's cranking.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm wondering if you're going to have my second place on your list, because I don't know if it fits the vibe that I'm getting about your Christmas music at your house.
I actually think we're going to have different ones, but I'll say there's a difference between the music that plays often at my house and then the music that I'm picking. Although, you know, I also have the Charlie Brown Christmas album on vinyl. It was probably my first Christmas record, so we play that a lot too. Yeah, no, like before kids, I didn't really care for Christmas. Because the other thing, a lot of Christmas music is not good. It's bad, right? But my youngest really likes the whole vibe of Christmas. He's even said, like, that's his favorite holiday, not just because of the gifts, but because listening to Christmas music and watching Christmas specials and, like, baking and all of that. Like, and like the youngest kids, man, that they put in the work. Like your kids are all still little, so it doesn't matter. But when your family starting to get age out, it's that youngest one that's holding it down for everybody. They're the reason why you keep still doing all of this stuff. And he's right at that age now where it's like he probably still doesn't believe, but he doesn't want to let it on. And we all still kind of want to do the thing. So it's a nice little, you know, game of Christmas chicken. So my number two is This Christmas by Donny Hathaway, which doesn't appear on as many of the playlists as you'd expect. And that's probably why I still like love it as much to get it number two. He sings the hell out of it. Great horns, all that stuff. But it also is not overplayed. You know, when I find, like, I often have to make the effort to choose it. And then it's like, oh man, this song's great.
And speaking of not overplayed, there's one that I've like tried to get to, like, you know, the algorithm to pick up on Spotify to just put this into the Christmas playlist automatically. Mm-hmm. And it's You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch by Tyler, the Creator, which is a fucking banger. It's way too good of a song to be a Christmas song. My whole family loves it. It's just, it's shockingly good for a Christmas song. As you mentioned, like a lot of Christmas songs, they fit the vibe of the season, but they're not usually like good songs. But like, he did something with that shit. Like it's a very fun song. So if you haven't heard it, and I don't know if you
have. Actually, I have not.
Oh, you should. It's good stuff.
It's probably because, again, I'm not seeking out Christmas music. Usually, unless I'm playing one of my records or apparently searching for Donny Hathaway, I'll just, you know, frankly, often it's not even me. Somebody will put the playlist on, you know, or sometimes even turn the radio on in the car or whatever. And yeah, Tyler isn't coming up in those. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Should, underplayed.
Yeah, no, my kid's a fan, like my older, so that would work. All right, so my number one, somewhat related, is Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Ooh, solid choice.
Just another classic. And, you know, does it help that it's featured in Die Hard? Of course it helps that it's featured in Die Hard. But no, man, when are you not enjoying when that song comes on, you know? And I think my youngest at first, like, this isn't a Christmas song. But now, yeah, he gets it. He gets the vibe. He's right. He's there. And, of course, it also helps that we showed him Die Hard this year. And
Well, it's funny that you say that, because my number one is the Nakatomi Plaza, which is, of course, the first song off the soundtrack, the movie Die Hard. Really puts you in that Christmas spirit, you know?
Absolutely.
So, there you go.
If you want to get into the great Die Hard, is a Christmas movie or not debate, Matt and I actually recorded a whole podcast that's on this website about that movie. So yes. And my answer is, of course, it's a Christmas movie. The only reason why there's a battle at all is because people are annoyed at the people who say it is, or more that the people who say it is confuse that opinion with having a personality, where it's like, what's the sanctity of a Christmas movie? There's no such thing like, oh, it doesn't deserve the honor. It happens around Christmas and people watch it at Christmas. Ergo, that's how it works.
Yep.
Sound of Music is considered a Christmas movie, and there's nothing to do with Christmas with that movie. Yeah, and then real quick, an honorable mention. Did you know that Player's Ball by Outkast originally appeared on the LA Face Christmas album?
I did not know this.
That was Outkast doing a Christmas song. Now, I'm not going to say it's a Christmas song, but that's why they're like, ain't no chimneys in the ghetto, so I won't be hanging no socks on the chim, you know?
Wow.
Oh, ho. So, like, it was recorded for that. Now they put it in their debut album, and so, yeah. If I was going to count that, then that would easily be number one, because that's a great song. There'd be times, if we ever get to top three Outkast songs, maybe.
You think Ben's bringing up Outkast at some point this season?
I'm hoping somebody else at some point talks about music, you know? I'm not sure who it would be. Like, maybe Tevin? Because, like, Q's...
Tevin's too young.
I don't... Yeah, well, the thing about young people, though, is they don't really have their own culture. You know, they just take...
It's still ours.
Whichever's, you know? Their favorite shows are, like, Friends and The Office. It's like...
Ben, clearly, like...
Yeah, he's 30, music. So yeah, there you go.
I guess.
I mean, maybe it was going to be Mariah. Homegirl can't jump, you know?
oh, gosh.
But yeah, I'm just hoping somebody else makes a reference so that it's been fun. Like, I made a playlist this weekend of just, like, rock music, you know, and the stuff we've been talking about and the stuff that Ben talks about. And, you know, my son's been like, let's listen to that instead of like the Smiths, which I've also been listening to. So it's fun to, you know, I love music, you know, is kind of the thing, but it would be nice if somebody mentioned a band that I'm actually a fan of. Yeah. Maybe that'd be harder though.
Yeah. I mean, at least it would require more like agonizing decisions. Like, oh, yes. I want to leave this song out.
Whereas, yeah, often it's been like, I have four tracks to choose from.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the four songs that I know from this artist.
Obviously, Christmas had a lot, but, you know, the three, I think, they're more me. But, you know, there's a lot of others. So share your thoughts on our website at purplerockpodcast.com. Email us if you'd like about other stuff. Don't email us about this, please. You know, although it'd be nice, besides just, you know, Bluehost telling us that our thing is expiring, even though we moved on to another host. You can do that at purplerockpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, you got it. It's been so long since you did it. I was really just waiting for you to fail there. Well done.
Anything else?
No, let's hit some theme music.
This is the copyright-free outro to the Purple Rock Survivor podcast.